place, and I just got this sense of, oh my goodness, we are living through history. And so thank you, Tony, for helping us pray for Ukraine. And I think that the video film is so powerful, of hearing Ukrainian pray for their land, their country, their nation. Of course, films are made before Thursday. But I guess that is the backdrop to today. And that's why I'm really thrilled to be here, because we have hope in the words that is contained in our Bibles that helps us to live through these seismic times, because we have a God who we've just been singing about, knows and is in charge and is holy, and we can rely on his word. I'm just pulling out lyrics that we've sung this morning. We believe them. We believe them. So today I'm going to talk about stories and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can rely on in 2022 to help us with our story. So, first off, think about what you were doing last night. Did any of you see a story? Did any of you see or watch a story yesterday evening?
Part of the story, I suppose.
Sorry,
with? Part of the story, I suppose, or somebody's journey. I watched Christian Eriksen come on field at the Brentford, having survived that amazing recovery from his heart problem.
Wonderful. So yeah, you listened and heard and saw a story about that recovery. Super. Anyone else got an example? Go on, Ruth.
I sort of dipped in and out of the Spider-Man film last night.
Excellent. Lovely example. Lovely example. Yes, Spider-Man. Excellent.
I saw a little bit of the Bruce Springsteen and his music writing journey. Very
interesting. Bruce Springsteen and his songwriting journey. Yeah. In the McBain House, we watched a film called The Courier, and it stars Benedict Cumberbatch, and it was about him playing the role of a Korean secret information from former Soviet Union to the UK in the 60s. So, isn't it interesting? You might be thinking, oh yes, I know what Mara's on about. I love watching a soap. You know, you've got a soap that you watch regularly, you're in that story, you're watching that story. Or maybe you're thinking, no, Mara, I'm not watching stories, I'm listening to stories, I'm reading stories, because I've always got my book at bedtime or whatever. We are created to be storytellers. That's how, as human beings, we have existed for a long, 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 long time. And of course, in scripture, we have so many stories. In fact, it's arguable that this is one big story from the beginning of creation to the end of time. We are wrapped up in a story. So today we're going to just pick one story and look at it in a little bit of detail. And I want us to think about what was going on in this. So to set the scene, we're going to look at a story from Acts. If we didn't have Acts in the Bible, I think we'd really miss a lot of stories from the early church. Yes? And we're joining the story after Peter and John have been involved in seeing a miraculous healing of a man that couldn't walk. And this was absolutely sort of hitting the headlines, so much so that they put Peter and John in jail for a night because they didn't quite know what to do with what was going on. So we're going to pick up the story and we're going to read Acts chapter 4, and the words are going to come up, and I'll read them to us as well. And I've just picked out a bit from verse 8 to 22. Okay, so this is the bit I've chosen. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, now this, who he's speaking to are the chief priests and the religious leaders. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we can't deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this town. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. So, what a bold story. And we know that Peter and John had been quivering and quaking before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But my goodness, the transformation that they could stand up in front of the leaders of their church, their religion, their whole setup, and say, "This is what happened, and how dare you say anything different?" Because the key was there, verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, filled with the Holy Spirit. And I guess what I want to think about this morning is how we can just be more attentive to that filling of the Holy Spirit for the stories in our lives. We may not be involved in bringing someone that's lame to walk. We may not have that privilege of seeing them. However, we can be attentive to what is God doing in and through our lives, not just as individuals, but as a community as well. I'll just let my notes catch up with where I am. And it's about being swept up in the big story, because we have our part to play. And we think it's absolutely nonsense that we've got a part to play at times. We think we're so insignificant, it doesn't really matter. But actually, as we say and as we know, the Holy Spirit that was in those early disciples is the same Spirit that is in us, the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. And it's asking afresh for that boldness in our lives to be able to talk, to be able to tell stories, to be able to share what was going on. And it was amazing in that passage that there before Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests, and those people are saying, "Oh my goodness, we had Jesus in front of us and it didn't stop. And now we've got his disciples in front of us and still things are happening. And 2,000 and whatever years on, we are still witnessing, testifying to what Jesus has done." It is phenomenal. We are wrapped up in the big story. We do have our part to play. So I'll give a couple of examples from my week thinking about this. So in my day job, I attend a lot of meetings, and they're often at the moment online, and we go into a Teams call and we've got our headsets on, and you know, this is how we work at the moment. And this week I went into a meeting and my colleague was there, and I'd been off on annual leave, so we were just sort of catching up. And she disclosed something really from her life and her heart. And the telling thing wasn't that she shared with me, the telling thing to me, I knew God was at work, was she said, Mari, I knew I would be able to tell you this because I'm with you. And that's not about Mari, that is about who I represent in that space. And I was able to say to her, well, you know you're in a safe place when you're with me. And we talked more. It's a small thing, and it's a way of which her story is being entwined with my story, but it's God's story too of what's going on in her life. It's a small thing, isn't it? But it's a real thing, and we don't know what God is doing in that. So that's an example from work. But it's also quite exciting in the street that we live in. And you've heard me speak about the street we've lived in before. So this year, we have got plans in our street to have a street party. And one of our neighbours is a very good community builder, and she's our team leader. And I'm helping on the team to plan the street party. And yesterday, me and a few of the neighbours, we were going up and down our street. Those of you that visited us in Ringwood Avenue, you can picture the scene. And we're knocking on doors, and we're inviting people to the party, and we're getting their consent as well to close the road. But isn't it, I was just so praying as we went to each place, God's Spirit is there, He's in me. How is this going to play out? I'm part of the story. And it's really encouraging to tell each other, share with each other our stories. So amongst some of the teams at Red Hill Baptist Church, we start now a meeting with tell me a story, what's happening? We check in, what's the story that's going on? Because it's a way in which we are storytellers and we can tune in to the work of the Spirit. And it encourages us. It encourages us. We're not on our own. We are part of the story. I'll give another example. I've been really challenged by a book that I've been reading. You'll make the title of this. It's called How to Lead When You Don't Know Where You're Going. It might seem a bit of a negative title, but it isn't. This is a really excellent book. It's written by Susan Beaumont, who has done a lot of work in North America and Canada with churches. So it's written by a very devout Christian, and it's talking about how she sees the institutional church in this time. So I was thinking about Merston, and I was thinking about Red Hill. We are living in a really unusual time in the West. I'm saying that not in the global majority place of where God is at work, but in the West. We are living through what's called the liminal season. It's a time between different areas. We don't know quite what's gone on. Well, we do know what we've come through, but we're not quite sure where we're heading. But God's Spirit does. But it's quite a time of unknowing. And so Susan Beaumont really encourages people to talk about the story that's going on. And don't just have like one very thin, what she calls a thin story, of X did Y and Z happened, but try and get the complexity, the richness, the colour of the different stories coming together. And I was reflecting on that with what's coming out of Ukraine, because there are so many stories to come out at one time. And how does the journalist, for example, decide what to pick on? It's similar when we're thinking about transition as a church community. How do we tell our story? And the advice of this is keep the story, make it thick, don't make it thin, don't make it a soundbite. Tell the richness of what's gone on. When I was serving here last academic year, I had to reflect on Merston Baptist Church. And I don't know if any of you have seen this. It's a fascinating little history that was written in 1974 by someone that was worshipping here. And it's fascinating snapshot of the first 100 years of ministry of Merston Baptist. And I'm very happy for you to pass it around and have a look. And I was looking at that. That was 1974. And when we get to 2024, it's going to be 150 years of witness to God's Spirit at work in Merston. So I thought, wow, that's amazing. We are, well, my Mary McBain is like, just like a second whoop, and she's in and out of the history of Merston. But some of you, adult lives have been spent serving here. But even that, you're just a small part of this. And where is it going to develop to? Because God is at work and His kingdom will come. So the whole richness of storytelling, I'd love you to reflect on as you go into this week. Not just your story, but the story of what's going on here. And I won't talk for 2 more minutes, but just to say what else happens in this story is a few things just to pull out. So first off, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He also said in verse 12, with great confidence, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. He could just say in a snapshot, in all confidence, what he believed. So it's something for us to think about that we can bring into our stories as well. But 2 things happen after this encounter. The first is they get dismissed, Peter and John, but they survived. They had their night in jail, they told the world what was going on, and the leaders did not know what to do with them, but said, go, you can go. So on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported it all. Guess what? They told a story. They went through the whole thing again. It built up people that weren't there to hear. Wow, that happened to you. You went to jail. You had to go to the Sanhedrin and you had to explain it all again. And when they heard this, the believers heard the story, what happened? They raised their voices together in prayer to God. They prayed bold prayers. You can read it for yourself this week. They prayed bold prayers together. They'd been filled with the Spirit. They told the story. They went back to their people. They told the story. They prayed. And then what happened? Bold actions. I mean, if you want to see a sign and wonder in 2022, you could try this. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Well, that was the outcome of their encounter. It's sort of like, oh, that was what happened after their prayers. A bold change of life. They shared everything they had. There were no needy persons among them. So that was the outcome of what happened to them. So, yes, bold stories. Yes, bold prayers. And then that bold witness came from it. The fruit came from it. So some things to think about as you go into this week. And just to assure you again that with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will have strength for what lies ahead. And I mean that in our families. I mean that in the Western community. But I also mean it in Europe. The Lord is the Lord of all nations. We know how this story ends with a new city where there is no more pain. We know what the end is. We are living through liminal times of uncertainty, but we know we have the hope of Jesus to help us through. Let's pray. God, our King, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you that you are ruler of the universe, of all nations, and Lord of our lives. Lord, we wake up each day in a world noisy boasting with violence, arrogance. And sometimes we may feel intimidated, but Lord, we say with growing confidence, you are in control. All things are within your power. Lord, we pray that those that lead will speak with knowledge and authority that comes not from themselves, but from you. So Lord, we submit to you this morning. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is in us, at work through us. And we pray, Lord, that in this time we would be a blessing to others, that we would be part of your story of sharing your hope, your love, your peace, your justice. And we pray that this week you'd make us attentive to where you are at work, and may we have the thrill of joining in. We thank you for the example of this one story of where you gave boldness. And we pray, Lord, this morning for us, that you give us that boldness that we need to be witnesses for you, for your kingdom to come on earth as in heaven. And everybody said, Amen.